What's up, guys? It's your man, Adul Barber, back with another podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. Skipped last week. Now I'm here. Something is better than nothing. Let's get right into it. So what makes a good barber? Excellent question. What makes a good barber? Now, look, I'm not the end-all be-all when it comes to this, but we're going to talk about a few things in this podcast today. Now, this is a relative subject. This is relative subject matter. It really just all depends on you, right? So if you're a barber that, let's say, you only want to work part-time, and that constitutes you being a good barber, cool. If you are a person who thinks a barber should be there from 5 a.m. to midnight every single day, all day, that's fine for you. But we're going to talk about my thoughts on this. Now, I lean a little bit towards the middle when it comes to a lot of things. I don't think there's one end-all, be-all. I'm not the exception is the rule, but I do like to lean on averages a lot of the time. But I do understand how the exception is the rule, but I also understand that does not apply to everyone. What spurred this whole podcast was, you know, of course, you guys know I work in a barbershop, and there are barbers that come and go in the barbershop, and I see this. I've been at the barbershop that I'm at now for about 3 years. Now, some of you might be wondering, why are you there still, right? 3 years later. I don't want to open a barbershop. And I've made that abundantly clear on the podcast, especially if you've been tuning in for a while. However, whilst in barber college, my ambitions was to open, get my instructor license, then eventually open up a barbershop. And if you guys pay attention to this podcast and are a longtime listener, you know the aspirations that I've had with owning a barbershop. But as I've matured, as I've aged and things like this, those things have waned. I no longer aspire to own a barbershop. One, because I know what it takes to run a business. And two, I'd rather make my money elsewhere and get more of passive money than having to deal with the baby, not a wham-wham baby, but almost a baby when it comes to a barbershop. Because when you own a business, there's a lot at stake. You know, it's all on you. You know, at the end of the day, no one's going to care about your business more than you. So it's going to require a lot of your attention, especially in those early few years. And I've done that before, and I honestly don't feel like doing that again. And that's the hardest thing for a lot of people is just to be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself to say, no, I'm not willing or capable of doing this, and either delegate or maneuver or shift to something else. A lot of people try to force themselves to do things that they're not capable of or not willing to do. And that's no problem, right? If, let's say, someone's doing something and they're great at it, and maybe some other people hopped on a train and they're, you know, squeezing all of the juice out of that lemon. That's fine. Let them do that. But if that's not something you want to do, don't do it. Don't just do it because the crowd is doing it. Don't just do it because you're like, ooh, it seems like the thing to do. Do what you want to do. That's the beautiful thing about being here in America and just life in general. Everyone has their own will. Free will, especially here in America. Right? I can't speak about any of the other countries like China or some of the other third world countries or impoverished countries. We have free will here in America for the most part to do whatever we like. We have all of the opportunities to fulfill our dreams. But the thing is, the people that don't take advantage of that, that sucks. And I don't like when I see people that don't take advantage of all the opportunities that are afforded to you. And that's the beautiful part about all of this. Even this entire discussion of what makes a good barber, however you lean, wherever you lean, it's all subjective. So for me, what makes a good barber? Someone who has integrity, morals, who does what they say they're going to do, respects their craft, respects people over a lot of the stuff. And so far, you guys probably, if you're paying attention, none of this stuff revolves around making money, making a certain amount of money. Like, none of that stuff matters when it comes to being a good barber, someone who cares about the craft. I don't care how good you are. Did you hear me talk about skills? No, I don't care about this stuff. Over time, you will acquire these things. Skills, money, blah, blah, blah. Over time, you will acquire these things. That's why I don't care about these things, because I know it follows. Just like my long-term investing horizon. Right now, I'm not generating tons of money, but I know later on, it will yield so much. And I know it will, because I've seen it before. I've done the calculations, and I'm seeing other people do it. The only thing is, you have to be patient in the beginning and willing to put in the work. Now, some of those things to achieve this as a part of being a good barber is being there on time or being there when you say you're going to be there. Now, I know a lot of people have these rules, right? If you, let's say, do a focus group of 100 barbers, there'll probably be a constant of two or three things that they all would say on how to build your clientele or how to make money as a barber. Be there from open to close, right? Never refuse a haircut. These are a few common things that you will hear a lot of people say. And generally, there are some truths to it, right? There's some truth to those statements, because over these few years of me working at this barbershop, I was there every day. I would not say that I was there from open to close, but there were a lot of days where I was there open to close. And I've seen a lot of barbers come and go in the barbershop that I work at through these years. And one thing I've noticed about a lot of the barbers is they're not consistent. The consistency is lacking. They may be there part of the day, not all of the day. And I've noticed this about a lot of them. They're not there a lot of the day, a lot of the time. So they may come in late, leave early, may not show up altogether, but then they get upset that they are not making a lot of money. Now, we recently had a barber quit, I think about a week ago, at the barbershop. And I guess he, from what the owner told me, of course, he said that it just wasn't busy enough for him. Now, this guy, when I would come in the morning, majority of the time, he wasn't there, which means this guy's showing up later. When it's time for me to leave, this guy will be gone, which means he's leaving early. And he pretty much, I guess from the time, and by the way, guys, he was only there for 2 weeks, mind you. So, you know, it's not like this spanned 6 to 12 months that I'm talking about here. This was only 2 weeks. So already coming out of the gate poorly, in my opinion, you know, and you wanting to build your clientele, that's hard when you're not doing this, because there have been plenty of scenarios where I was the first, not the first one in the barbershop, but one of the first people in the barbershop, and you get that first client. And I, just like I mentioned with you guys with investing, I always mention, especially when it comes to dividend investing, brick by brick. Brick by brick is how you're going to build your castle. You're not just going to wave a magic wand, rub a genie lamp, and grant a wish, and poof, you have a castle. No, we're going to build this brick by brick. So same thing with barbering. Client by client is how you're going to do this. And this is what makes a good barber, building it one client at a time. And there have been plenty of scenarios where I was the first one in and I got that client and then converted them. Well, I got the customer and then I converted them to a client. There's been plenty of scenarios where everyone left the barbershop and someone comes in late and I've converted a customer into a client. And I have customers to this day that I remember vividly how I got them. Especially there was one yesterday I got exactly like that, where everyone left. I was the only one there. They all three wanted haircuts and I converted that customer into a client. And that's how you build your clientele. Now, a question that I would pose to you is, how much money per week would you consider a good barber to make? Now, of course, this is all relative, right? Because we're different ages, right? Teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, I don't know. What would you consider a good dollar amount to make per week? that's all up to you. Now, would $1,000 a week be a good number for you? Would $750 be a good number for you? $2,000, would that be a good number for you? Now, a lot of people come, especially that hop into barbering, come from jobs that relatively don't pay well, meaning they're getting paid, let's say, $1,000 every 2 weeks or something, or maybe $1,500 every 2 weeks, right? Which, as a barber, you can make $1,500 in a week easily. Easily. And last week, I've made more than this. So what is a good dollar amount to make per week, per month, per year, whatever the case is? Me personally, I don't think you're not successful if you don't make $100,000. I don't think you suck if you make $50,000 as a barber. It's all relative. Now, I'm not a big proponent of charging $200, $100, $75 for haircuts, $300 for haircuts. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is what you do with the money after you get it. I try to tell this to my younger clients all the time. Be smart with your money. You guys are young right now. I've been there before. I've made the mistakes. The worst thing you can do is not doing anything at all. And I've harped on this in previous podcasts and previous videos on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how long it's going to take for you to wake up and understand it, but it's very important. And I'll be 41 this month. And I'm telling you what, guys, you need to listen to me. And if you're not doing it, you need to start doing something today. Start something. Like, take a step in the right direction. You don't have to accomplish everything right away, but take a step in the right direction. This is what I want for you. I don't want you to wake up and I wouldn't say too late because it's never too late, but I don't want you to wake up and regret your past and think about, oh man, what could have been? I've lived through this. I don't want this for you. So please listen to my words, take my advice, and start taking steps in the right direction. If you need help with that, of course, as I tell you guys always, I do coaching. So I do one-on-ones, DM me on Instagram, I do a barber. But I want you to do this. And this, in my opinion, is what makes you a good barber. This is going to make you a good barber. Not all of the other silly stuff. This stuff will make you a good barber. So I'm gonna try something. I might get an echo, so bear with me. Yeah. Yep, echo. All right, so I just wanted to make sure this was actually recording. There's you could probably hear text messages coming through, but then I also saw something on this audio recorder that the volume's completely down, but I was like, maybe that's the monitor. And yeah, I think that's the monitor. Anywho, this is one of the things that, for me, makes you a good barber, a good steward of your money. Someone who knows how to handle their resources. It makes no difference if you make $200,000 a year as a barber and you spend it all every year and you have nothing to show for it, because that, ladies and gentlemen, is a fool. And I've been a fool. I've done it before. I've made good money and had nothing to show for it. I've done that. This is why I want better for you guys. I don't want you to be another classic case. I don't want you to become a statistic. Be on the other end of the statistic. I want you to be in the minority of those statistics, the 5%, the 3%, the 1%ers. I don't want you to be the many of people that don't have $1,000 in case of emergency. I don't want you to be those people that don't have life insurance. I don't want you to be one of those people that don't have an emergency fund set up. And I've been talking to some of my clients about this, where I was talking to one of my clients about this actually yesterday. And he was like, oh man, what if this? And I was like, this is why you have an emergency fund, to support you in case some things go awry, so you don't have to take away from your investments, the golden goose. You don't want to touch that. You have a layer of protection in place in case something happens. So this is why I always tell people, and if you guys don't have an emergency fund, I don't know what you guys are doing. And it's very simple financial stuff. Sorry, I was eating popcorn earlier. I got some kernels in my teeth. 3 to 6 months of expenses is what I'm talking about with an emergency fund. 3 to 6 months of expenses. In case anything happens. Now, as you guys know, I was doing renovations throughout the summer. Spent a lot of money on those renovations. Whew, a lot of money. I think it was close to $30,000 I spent this summer. And there were things that happened that went wrong, right? AC went out. Had other AC issues. Then I had this issue. But I had an emergency fund. You see how that happens? I had an emergency fund. These things helped me when it came to that. I wasn't scrambling. I wasn't, oh, this makes a good barber. Now, of course, having an emergency fund has absolutely zero to do with barbering itself, the actual craft. But I've seen plenty of cases of barbers who can't pay their booth rent. Plenty of cases of barbers who make good money but have nothing to show for it. Many of barbers where you say to yourself, how are you broke? You just made all of this money this week or all the time. It makes no sense. This is what makes a good barber. This is what makes a good man, a good person. I mean, let's not exclude the ladies in this one. So being smart with everything that you are given, it seems like a given, but it's not. Because people don't have people to tell them these lessons. They don't have a mentor to keep them on track. Yeah, you may hear it once, or maybe you may watch a cool video and get inspired, but what happens when the inspiration wears off? You need someone there. So being a good barber, I see plenty of examples of barbers where, you know, there's classic cases of barbers where you're like, yeah, I know what kind of guy this is. Yeah, yeah. But I always find it funny when the barber wants to claim he's a boss, you know, pretend to act like a boss, but doesn't do boss things, has a part-time job, which that's always the killer to me, a barber with a part-time job. Because as you guys know, you can make really good money being a barber. So it begs the question, why do you have a part-time job that, now, and mind you, we're not talking about like a side hustle, right? Let's exclude side hustles from this. We're talking about a part-time job that interferes with your career as a barber, where you don't, you know, this part-time job you have is making you come into the barbershop at 3, 4, 5 p.m. and you can only work for 3-4 hours a day. You can only work on weekends because, hey, I got another job, right? Part-time, part-time results. Very, very simple. And the funny thing is, a lot of these barbers that have these jobs or a part-time job, or maybe barbering is their part-time job, if they really focused on barbering, they can make more money than this little whatever they got going on. But I love people that love to throw the excuse of, hey, yeah, I need the benefits, this and that. I think we talked about this last time on the last week, or I wouldn't say last week, but the last podcast. You can set up all of the benefits that anyone has at any of these other jobs. Health insurance, dental coverage, life insurance. What else is out there? Disability insurance. 401k, IRA. You can set up all of this stuff as a barber. So let's not pretend that you have to have one of those types of jobs to get those types of benefits. You can set up your benefits on your own. And a little surprise for you. You can probably get a lot better coverages if you just go out and do it yourself. Because a lot of times when you are at the will of these employers and their plans that they offer, they're not all great. This is why there are insurance salesmen, because they sell corporate deals. This is why someone's always shopping around. There are always people are calling the corporate and saying, hey, what financial instruments are you providing to your employees, or what health benefits are you offering to your employees? And they'll say, yeah, this. And then they'll say, oh, I can offer you this with this and this and this with less fees. And we have even more investing options than this company or this plan that you have, whatever. They're just plans, guys. That just because they have one doesn't mean that they're great. Okay? So you can do the same thing as a barber. You can go out and shop all of those things as a barber. But the problem is people don't think like this. Or either they don't have the knowledge, and that's the problem. This knowledge is free. A lot of this stuff is out here. I'm just here, I'm just the person that's going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you, hey, it's out there. Hey, just go get it. Just go look out for it. Do some research. Make a few phone calls. It's not that difficult, guys. So I don't want you guys thinking like, teeth chattering and I don't know what to do. It's very simple, guys. Wake up, be an adult. Be responsible. Be a man, have some integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. This is a part of being a good barber. Having integrity. Doing what you say you're going to do. If you're going to say you're going to be there at 10 o'clock for their appointment, be there at 10 o'clock on time for their appointment. This is why I'm really cracking down on my clients with these no-call, no-shows. Because I know, and I don't know, maybe you have a policy when it comes to no-call, no-shows. I don't know. Do you charge the full amount? Do you charge nothing? Do you charge half, 75%, 25%? I don't know. But one thing I do know is some clients do get upset or they're shocked when you're charged a no-call, no-show fee. But the thing is, when you explain this to people, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. But that's the funny part. And that's the selfishness of being irresponsible, not having integrity. You don't understand the cause and effect of your actions. And that's just how it is with a lot of people. A lot of people don't understand the cause and effect of their actions. If you come out here and do this and that, there is a consequence for what you've done. There are repercussions to the path you lay out. And I've had this with a couple of my clients. They were surprised. They were like, ooh. And one of my clients who's a barber, no call, no show on me. He's like, oh man, you're going to charge me no call, no show. And I had to look at him like, come on, you know the business. You know how this is. And now where he works, he says he doesn't get that many no call, no shows. And I was asking him like, hey, what do you guys do about it? He's like, no, we don't really do anything about it because he's like, we'll get maybe like one in a week, you know? And I was like, oh, it's not bad. But then he told me how they had like 4 in 1 day. And I told him, I was like, hey, that might be the straw that breaks the camel back where you guys have to start cracking down on this. Because as you guys know, if you've dealt with no call, no shows, it could turn a good day into a mediocre day or a bad day. And this was one of those days where it was on a Saturday, which you know, on a Saturday, you're there to make money. And I had 4 no call, no shows, which turned a good Saturday into a Saturday. So when you have this stuff going on, it's not cool. Not cool at all. So I had to crack down on it. So when you show people your perspective, it's another thing. Now, for those of you, I mean, I would hope please hope there's a small amount of barbers out there listening to this that don't understand. I will hope all barbers understand why no call, no shows is horrible and why you should charge. I hope there's not a lot of barbers that will push back on charging for a no call, no show. Because when you think about it, and I had to explain this to one of my clients, when you no call, no show, one, you're taking time, especially when you're doing appointments, right? Because I work off of appointments. When you take time off of my books, that means that's less money that I have the potential of making throughout that week or throughout that day. I can't replace that time when you no call, no show. Now, of course, I could get lucky and grab a walk-in if that's an available option for me. But a lot of times it isn't. A lot of times that's not the case. I'm high and dry. There's also the time where a walk-in may come in 5 or 10 minutes before your appointment. And you might say like, oh, I'm waiting for my appointment to come. So you turn down a walk-in, therefore giving another barber a chance to build his clientele and turn a customer into a client. And then you don't call no-show, and then now you're sitting there with your thumb in your ass. And I had to explain this to clients. And once they finally understand what we're dealing with when you don't call no-show, they finally get it. It's not cool. It's just not. So trying to have people put your shoes on and, you know, put the glasses on them and see the lens that you look out of, a lot of people don't think like this. And for me, as I've gotten older, I've started to understand perspective. Perspective for other people, the way people think or their position that they're in. I can understand now. I'm not just looking at it through my lens and my life is it and this is it. The way I do things, the way I think, the way I behave and act on a day-to-day basis is the way everyone should, or that's how just society should be. No, these are traits that you acquire as you get older. There are some young people that can think outside of themselves, but these are very mature people. But when you're dealing with people here in the U.S., there aren't that many mature people that are young. It's very few mature people that are young. I'm just here to tell you that right now. There's a lot of younger people that are not that mature. That's why it's very rare. So, you know, what makes a good barber? It's an excellent question. I like to talk about the personal things. I don't like to talk about the actual physical thing of cutting hair. You didn't hear me say, oh, if you can cut a haircut in 10 minutes, that makes you a good barber. No, I didn't say anything about that. How fast you can cut hair. No, I never talked about that. I didn't talk about how good you can cut hair. How many barber battles you've won. No, I never talked about that. I didn't mention, oh, if you're a sponsored barber, you know, or if you have this many followers on Instagram, this makes you, no, never talked about any of that. I don't care about that stuff. As you guys know, I hate social media. I do not like social media. I absolutely despise social media. Now, social media can be a good thing. It can be a tool when used correctly, but there's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of silly stuff. There's a lot of fugazi stuff that goes on in social media. A lot of stuff that I don't like as it pertains to barbering and beyond, but that's just what it is. You know, I'm not going to harp on that. And for those of you that are curious, hey, when I'm coming back to YouTube, who knows? Because the way I was feeling a couple weeks ago, I thought I'd be back on YouTube by now. But the way I feel now, I'm happy about not being on YouTube. I honestly don't know. It's like my feelings change on YouTube. And it's just social media, man. It really does disgust me, social media. Oof. That's why you won't see me coming out here doing silly stuff, goofy stuff, you know, acting dumb to get attention, you know, all this stuff. I'm here to help you guys. Like, that's my mission for you guys. That is my mission for you guys, to help you guys get better, try to be better than me, you know, have someone to look up to, a good example of a man, a good example of a barber. Because here's the thing, not everyone has good influences around them. You know, imagine if I was another goofball, then that would be just another goofball that you can add to the many out there on social media that you watch or listen to or you find influential. No, I don't want to be goofy. I'm not goofy all the time. Like if you knew me in person, like, yeah, I like to have fun. You know, I'm a funny guy, I would like to say. But I'm not a goofball. I'm not out here like constantly telling jokes and blah, blah, blah. I know life is serious. I understand the severity of the situation. And when you mature, grow up, and start understanding this, your perspective is going to change. Now, yeah, I'm not saying I never have fun. I do have fun. But that, me knowing that about life and everything else, is what makes me serious. Because I know the severity in this and what's at stake. A lot of people don't understand what's at stake. A lot of people, they like to escape by going to social media, doing silly things, going out and having all this fun and blah, blah, blah. I understand the severity. So I don't really play around. I take a lot, life especially, I take very serious. And I have my goals, as should you, as should anyone. Long-term goals, short-term goals, you should have these. And you should be aspiring to them. You should be moving forward to them. You should be making steps to get towards your goals. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I want for you. Because in my opinion, that makes a good barber. Someone who's goal-oriented. Again, nothing to do with skills. But that is a valuable life skill. Someone who's goal-oriented. Someone who has an ambition. Someone who has a purpose to be doing something bigger than themselves. I don't want to go about and buy a Louis belt. I don't want to buy a Gucci backpack. I don't want to drive this nice fancy car just so I can make some other guys impressed or some girls impressed or flex on social media. No, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. And it's funny because I was talking to one of the clients yesterday and I was telling him, you know, because I don't know how we got on the subject of investing, but somehow we did. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, this stuff is crazy because I could easily go out here and buy something nice. I can do that. Like right now, I could liquidate my portfolios and have $100,000 in cash right now, but I'm not going to do that. Makes no sense. I can go out here and buy a nice car, but I don't drive one. Still rocking a minivan. And it still smokes when I drive it, or at least the first 10 minutes. It depends. If it's cold, I'd give it about 15 minutes. So like in the wintertime, because of course it takes the car a little bit longer to warm up, but I'll say about 10 to 15 minutes. But I don't give a damn. I don't care about flashy stuff. I do like nice things. And that's the thing. What people don't really realize about me, I do like nice things. But there's a time and place. Right now, I'm in the growth stages. I'm trying to grow the pie as much as I can. And it makes no sense to try to do that and grow the pie. It's hard to grow the pie when I'm wasteful over here. Because I know all about regrets. I know all about it. I know all about wasting time. Know all about it. I know all about missed opportunity cost. Know all about it. That's why I always tell my clients, stop buying these nice cars when you have bad credit and you got interest rates in the teens, high teens. Interest rates on the car like credit card interest. Horrible. Got clients like that. Got a couple of them. When will you learn? And if you're listening out there and this sounds like you, slap yourself. You're blowing it, kid. You're blowing it. Just don't do it. I'm telling you. So be smart, wisen up. Ask yourself, what makes a good barber? There's no right or wrong. I mean, obviously there is a wrong if you think, you know, going out here, I want to flex. Oh, I want to go to have enough money to go make a rain in a strip club. Oh, I want to go out here and buy the latest fashion and nice shoes and this and that. And you just want to do this and not put anything else aside for yourself to live off of later or have something to look forward to in your later years in life. Yeah, of course, that's not good, right? That's not good. I want to be a dirty barber. I don't want to clean my clippers. I don't care about, you know, maintaining my tools. I don't care about showing up for clients. Yeah, that makes a bad barber. Yeah. But I'm just here to be a good example for you guys. You know, that's it. Okay. I'm here to help. That was the whole purpose behind the podcast, the YouTube channel. It's just to help, to give you guys some good information, pour onto you whatever knowledge that I have. In whatever way I can help you guys, that's the whole purpose, you know. Barbering's easy. But I've noticed, you know, in life, right, because the way I feel now, I feel like life is easy. But again, I have to step outside of myself and say, I am not everyone. I know there's some traits that I have that not a lot of people have. A lot of people can't think like I think, react the way I react, be calm and composed under fire like I am, and really just think outside of yourself in critical situations. A lot of people can't do this stuff. And I understand now, for other people, life isn't easy. For me, life is easy. And you might, guys might be saying, like, how, you know, like, you guys are probably like, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay my car bill. I don't know how I'm going to come up with the rent for this month. Or, man, if this happens, like, what am I going to do? Guys, make your life as easy as possible. This is what I'm talking about, these one-on-one coaching sessions that I do. This stuff will help you make life easier. When you can eliminate the chaos, the turmoil, the stress in your life, when you can eliminate this stuff and then focus on the more important things, this makes life easier. This is what makes a good barber. Someone who can make tough times easy. You know, when you have all your ducks in a row, you don't have to worry. You don't have the stresses that other people have. Like, ooh, if this happens, what's going to happen if I get this bill for $2,000, $3,000? This is why you have plans in place for this. This is why you have an emergency fund, guys. Remember what I said earlier? 3 to 6 months of expenses. Wink, wink. This is why. So you could just write it a check and tell it to chill. You don't have to bat an eye. You don't have to lose sleep at night worrying about this. Swipe, swipe, write a check. Boom, good. Then you just replenish what you just paid off in your emergency fund and just keep it rolling. When you have life insurance, you don't have to worry about, ooh, if I'm going to die, what's going to happen? Ooh, my family's not going to be left with the need. Ooh, you don't have to worry about this stuff. You understand, guys? Gals, you understand? This is what I want for you. Make your life easy. Automate your life so you can focus on the more important things. Because I know, guys, it's hard trying to accomplish certain things when you have other things on your mind. How you're going to make money to pay this next week, or come up with the rent on the first, or how am I going to put gas in my car? It's hard to go after your dreams, to go after the things that you want when you have those stresses going on. Dude, my life is easy. It really is. I swear to you guys, when you get all this stuff set up, guys, your life will be on autopilot and you can focus like a laser on these other things. That's not to say that you can't get it accomplished with all the other stresses in your life. Many of people have done it. But what I'm trying to tell you is I want your life to be as easy as possible, because that's when life becomes easy. It's like, oh, this is pretty easy. Just, okay, boom, boom. All right. If I threw 5 tennis balls at you, it might be hard for you to catch one of them. Of course, there's a lot of chaos going on. But it just is what it is, guys. So hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you guys next week. You know, enjoy the rest of your week. Hope you guys enjoyed the Wilder Fury fight over the weekend. Oh, boy, that was a crazy one. But I'm going to get out of here, man. It's been your man. I do a signing out. I'll holla.